My mom's a Rajan.
No, no, no Hamsi is black colored.
Gauri Vaishnav.
So, the Harikatha is the Jagannath Prasad and the speaker is the crow. So, dear devotees, will you accept Harikatha coming out of the mouth of a crow?
Yes.
So, hence you agree that I am a crow. Thank you very much.
Harikatha from Haripasha Prabhu ki.
Yeah.
Prabhu, kindly read the translation.
Just because these verses containing nectarian repetitions, the divine qualities of Sri Sri Radha Krishna have come from the mouth of a lowly soul such as myself, will the learned souls not hear them? They will certainly listen to these repetitions. Which saintly soul will avoid consuming the Lord's Mahaprasad cooked in Jagannath Puri, even if such Mahaprasad has fallen from the mouth of a crow? Indeed, such Mahaprasad is capable of destroying the great illusion of material existence.
Wonderful. So, hearing these verses, it gives me confidence. Chanting Mangalacharan, it gives confidence to the speaker that the speaker is not an orphan. There is an entire Guru Parampara willing to support the speaker as long as the speaker is speaking from the authorized Shastras and from the Guru Parampara. And as I said yesterday, they lived happily ever after. And that's where the movie ends. I told you, we don't show anything beyond that. So, dear devotees, the nature of relationships in the material world and also especially in the spiritual world is that relationships never walk on a straight line. Relationships always take a crooked path. And Sri Rupa Goswami therefore says in the Ujjwal Nilmani, Ahe riva gatih premana swabhava kutila bhavet, that the movements of prema are as crooked as a serpent. And therefore, prema will not move in a straightforward direction. Prema has to undergo ups and downs in the spiritual world. And the perverted reflection of that prema is kama, as reflected in the material world. Kama also does not move in a straightforward line. It will take twists and turns. Bhartrihari has started living happily with Anangasen in his kingdom of Ujjain, and they are passing many, many happy days. He is deeply in love with Anangasena, and he is also taking care of his kingdom very nicely. Meanwhile, in his kingdom of Ujjain, there is a very learned, devout Brahmana who is an expert in Tantra Shastras. Now, Tantra doesn't mean black magic, dear devotees. There are two types of Vedic literatures. Please repeat after me. Veda, Tantra. So, these are two types of literature. And these literature are helpful for worshipping Bhagavan. In Satya Yuga, Bhagavan was worshipped only using Pranav, Omkar. In Treta Yuga, Bhagavan was worshipped only using Veda, Rik, Sam, Yajur, Veda. In Dwapar Yuga, Bhagavan was worshipped using a combination of Veda and Tantra. And in Kali Yuga, Bhagavan is mainly worshipped using Tantras. And these are the Vaishnava Tantras, Satvat Tantras, which give us details about how Bhagavan is worshipped in Kali Yuga. So this particular Brahmana is a worshipper of Devi Bhuvaneshwari. Bhuvaneshwari is a form of Durga, and she was being worshipped by him through a tantric process. He was trying to please her, and after many days of worshipping her, finally one day Bhuvaneshwari appeared in front of him, and Bhuvaneshwari said, I am very pleased with you. I wish to give you something. Bhuvaneshwari Devi gave him a divine fruit in his hands. This divine fruit, she said, whosoever consumes it will not get old very soon and will live a very long life. This is my gift to you. Either you consume it or you give it to anybody else you love. So the Brahmana took this particular fruit as prasad of Bhuvaneshwari Devi. And the Brahmana started thinking, should I consume it myself? Of course, the Brahmana was very poor. He said, if I consume it myself, my already poor life will be extended multiple times. Better to live a shorter life, but a life filled with prosperity. The Acharyas give one sutra. Varam adya kapotah shvo mayurat. Better to have a pigeon today than to have a peacock tomorrow. Better to have a pigeon today than a peacock tomorrow. Varam adya kapotah shvo mayurat. So this Brahmin believed, let me at least get wealth in exchange of this fruit, so that at least this life I'll be able to live happily. So Brahmana went to the king and said, dear king, Bhartrihari, I have come to you with this particular fruit, and this fruit is imbued with the prasad of Bhuvaneshwari Devi, and 100% guaranteed you can check it by eating it yourself. Anybody who eats it will definitely get a long life free of diseases. And they will not get old very soon. So Bhartrihari said, yes, yes, I believe you. You are very trusted tantric of the city. I trust you. You are not going to speak any lies. And Bhartrihari took that fruit and thought, well, let me consume it. But then, dear devotees, I told you, is love about giving happiness to one's own self or giving happiness to the beloved? The beloved. And yesterday we had seen this verse, yatra bharya cha bharta cha paraspara vashanugau tatra dharmartha kamanam trayanam eva sangamaha. Wherever the husband and wife are deeply devoted to each other, their dharma, artha and kam all become manifest together. So Bhartrihari could think of only one particular individual to whom he could gift this particular fruit. And who was that individual? Anangasena. So Bhartrihari got the fruit to Anangasena and said, I love you very much and I'd like to give you this particular fruit. Anangasena, don't you love me? So Anangasena laughed at him and said, Maharaj, why do you give this fruit to me? So Bhartrihari composed a verse at that particular. He was Ashukavi. Ashukavi means very quick poet. So he said, you see, I don't want there to be a day when I am present in this world and you are not present in this world. I don't want to see that day. Sati pradipe satyagnau satsu tara ravindushu viname mriga shavakshya tamo bhutamidam jaga. Sati pradipe, even if many lamps are present in my palace to illuminate it. Sati agnau, even if many bonfires are lit within the palace for illuminating it. Satsu tara ravi indushu, even if the sun, moon and stars all shine together to illuminate my palace. Vina me mriga shavaksha, without my doe-eyed Anangasena. Tamo bhutam idam jagat, my world is full of darkness. Prabhu, kindly read the romantic poetry.
Even if many lamps are present, even if a great bonfire is illuminating everything around me, even if all the stars, the sun, and the moon are present together to brighten my existence, but if my doe-eyed beauty, Anangasena, is not with me, then my entire existence is filled with darkness.
So we know that somebody is going a little cuckoo. Somebody is losing his mind gradually. Bhartrihari is falling deeper and deeper into his love for Anangasena. And dear devotees, therefore, it is very important that for those who are practicing dharma, artha and kaam, those who are not freed from their material desires in this world, they should always have a strong connection with Krishna Bhakti. Devoid of a connection with Krishna Bhakti, there is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrit. Chari Varnashrami Yadi Krishna Nahi Bhaje Swa Karma Padite Raurav Sahi Bhaje Raurav Sahi Maje. If all the four Varnas and four Ashramas practicing their Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha do not try to attain a relationship with Krishna, ultimately all of them will fall into the deepest darkness. And this is gradually happening with Bhartrihari. It is the nature of the material world to degrade us. And every step here in the material world is suffering. Every experience in the material world is suffering, including the experience of happiness. How many of us believe here that happiness here is suffering? Please raise your hands. Wow, you're already convinced. Huh?
We heard from you.
You heard from me. While we are enjoying happiness, is it suffering?
Yes.
In the process of enjoyment, is it suffering?
No.
See, now we are divided. Of course, it is suffering even while we are enjoying. Why? And there's a big, this is a big question. It's illusory. Of course, the Advaitwadi says, Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. The Vaishnava refuses, says, everything here is the truth. It's temporary. Okay. Another Vaishnav says it is temporary. But while it lasts, it is real. One's happiness is another person suffering.
Conception of the mind.
Conception of the mind. All right. Dear devotees, the great authority on Ashtanga Yoga, Sri Patanjali Muni, composed a sutra specifically to specify how everything in the world is suffering. And Patanjali Muni said that there are three types of suffering which everybody goes through. Please repeat after me. Parinama,
Tapa,
Samskara, Dukhair, Dukhameva, Sarvam, Vivekinaha. Due to three main types of unhappiness, everything in the world is suffering. And first is, please repeat after me, Parinama Dukha. Parinama Dukha is the misery of transformation. Something begins on a positive note, but later transforms into something negative. For example, two people got married, and they got married after having fallen deeply in love with each other. And the marriage is going on very well. But after a few years, they find out that they are not able to conceive children. Please tell me, the initial happiness of the marriage is gradually transforming into what, dear devotees? Suffering. This is the first variety of dukkha. What is it known as? Parinam dukkha. Now somebody may say, oh, this is alright, this may not happen with everybody. Parinam dukkha doesn't happen with everybody. So Patanjali Muni says, no problem, there is second dukkha. Please repeat after me. Tapadukha. Tapadukha is while you are enjoying something, you start feeling that very soon I will no longer be able to enjoy the same experience. This is known as which dukha? Tapadukha. I'll give a very simple example of this so that it is easy to understand. Let's say there is a person who is addicted to smoking cigarettes and loves to smoke at least 10 cigarettes in a day. So one particular evening, he thinks that he checks his drawer and there's only one cigarette remaining for tomorrow. So he says, I have to go down and get a new pack of cigarettes for tomorrow. So, but I'll take a bath and then I'll go down. So he's taking a bath and meanwhile, suddenly the government declares it's COVID-19 and everything is shut down. So all the shops shut down and the next day he's stuck with only how many cigarettes?
One.
So now that, dear devotees, is that one cigarette enjoyment or suffering? So while he's smoking that cigarette, with every puff, he's anticipating the separation. Patanjali Muni calls this the second type of dukkha. Which dukkha is this? Tap dukkha. So enjoyment, suffering that happens while we are enjoying. And third, dear devotees, please repeat after me. Samskara dukkha. Somebody may say, oh, this is also very rare. What if there is no hindrance to enjoyment? What if he gets a pack of 10 cigarettes every single day for the rest of his life? Then Patanjali Muni says, still there is dukkha. Why? Because with every cigarette that he is smoking, he is generating a samskara, an impression on his consciousness. And maybe in this life he will get it. But when he will get another life, these samskars will be carried to another life. And is it guaranteed that in another life he'll get a pack of 10 cigarettes every day?
No.
And in another life when he'll not get that, he, due to previous conditioning of happiness, he will suffer in the future. This, dear devotees, is known as which dukkha? Samskar dukkha. So those who are gifted with loving relationships, husband and wife, they love each other very much. And they are passing their days in great happiness. Are they building positive samskars of happiness or negative samskars of suffering? What are they building? Positive samskars. And in the future, in a future life, if they do not get such a spouse, then alas, if only I could have gotten that particular spouse who would have treated me very well. But this alas is coming from previous samskars of enjoyment. Just as a small child who has never eaten a chocolate candy will never demand a chocolate candy. But once a child has eaten chocolate candy, he'll harass his parents for that. Why? Samskar. So this is known as the third type of dukkha. Which dukkha? Samskar dukkha. So three types of dukkha. Parinam dukkha, tap dukkha, samskar dukkha. And due to this, dukkham eva sarvam vivekinaha. For a learned person, everything in the world is dukkha. Commenting upon the Yoga Sutra, Sri Vyasadeva narrates the history of a sage named Jaigishavya. The sage Jaigishavya, who was very learned and self-realized in impersonal Brahman, he was once walking the earth and he met another great sage named Avatya. So Avatya, he asked Jaigishavya Muni, Jaigishavya Muni, you remember all your past lives on the strength of your yoga sadhana, and previous 10 Brahmas have come and gone, and all the lives you took in the previous 10 Brahmas you remember. Jaigishavya Muni, I would like to ask you, did you enjoy more or did you suffer more in all those lives that you lived in the previous 10 Brahmas? So Jaigishavya Muni sat down and without even thinking for a moment, he said, I have already analyzed all the lives that I had over the past 10 lifetimes of Brahma. 10 Brahmas have come and gone, and I am still in the material world. Sometimes I became an insect, sometimes a bird, sometimes an animal, sometimes a devata, a god in Swarga. And I will tell you something. Dukkhameva sarvam pratyavaimi. Everything was misery. Dukkhameva sarvam pratyavaimi. It was all suffering. Avatya Muni said, but Jaigishavya Muni, now you are realized. Now you are almost liberated. At least now you are happy. So Jaigishavya said, in comparison to merging with the Brahman, I am still unhappy. I am yet to merge into the impersonal Brahman. So as long as I am in this material body, I am still unhappy. So dukkhameva sarvam pratyavaimi. Now dear devotees, I see all the faces are drooping. What happened? Of course, our Pururava's love with Urvashi is also not going to stay the same. Transformations are a part of the material world. And Urvashi and Pururava might have married each other by, you know, so-called unconditional love, but it was unconditional only on the part of Pururava. Urvashi was not willing to give unconditional love. Urvashi already had that superiority complex in her mind. I belong to the heavenly planets. I am much more beautiful than this Pururava. Why should I, you know, give everything unconditionally to him when I can demand something from him? So Urvashi started demanding. Please sing after me. Gritam me vira bhaksham syam.
Gritam me vira bhaksham syam.
Nikshetvanyatra maithuna.
Nikshetvanyatra maithuna.
Vivasasam tattatheti.
Vivasasam tattatheti.
Pradipede mahamana.
Pradipede mahamana.
Prabhu, kindly read the translation.
Urvashi said, my dear hero, only preparations made in ghee will be my dutables, and I shall not want to see you naked at any time, except at the time of our union.
Or else what? Or else I'll leave you. So first condition is, I only eat foodstuffs made out of ghee. That's my standard. What do you mean? You won't cook for me? No, Maharaj, forget it. Preparations have to be made for me in ghee. Not even once in your entire life will you cook for me? No, Maharaj. You're speaking to Urvashi. We are devatas. People offer us ghee, swaha. You understand, huh? I don't cook in heaven. The mortals on the earthly planets give us offerings and we directly consume. So Maharaj, please get to work. And of course, we have our standards of decency. You are to wear good clothing at all time in front of me. Except for the time of union, when you are allowed to be without clothes. Is it okay, Maharaj? So dear devotees, is this marriage unconditional or conditional? Conditional. Yes. Please read ahead, Prabhu.
The great-minded King Kuruva accepted these proposals.
Wow. So who is great-minded? Sri Shukadeva Goswami says Mahamana. Mahamana is Pururava. Why? Because as I said, Sri Shukadeva Goswami also knows the Vedic standards of marriage. Yatra bharya cha bharta cha paraspara vashanugav. A Vedic marriage is not about making demands. A Vedic marriage is about understanding and having the love to sacrifice for the sake of another individual. Of course, you can make some demands from time to time when you need it. But a Vedic marriage is about giving much more than what we receive. A short formula for a Vedic marriage is about giving much more than what we receive. And if we are not prepared to do that, then we cannot say that we have a truly Vedic marriage. Because both Bharya and Bharta, both husband and wife should have this responsibility of ensuring each other's happiness. Sometimes some individuals ask, what about my rights? You know, often in married relationships, individuals ask, what about my rights? So I'd like to say one thing about rights. In Vedic culture, nobody has any rights. Neither a man nor a woman. Nobody has any rights. Vedic culture treats both equally. Neither a man has rights nor a woman has rights. So what about the term adhikar? Many of us have heard the term adhikar. Yes, dear devotees. What is the meaning of the term adhikar?
Qualification.
Yes. Eligibility, responsibility, qualification is adhikar. Adhikar doesn't mean God-gifted right. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, karmani eva adhikaraste. You have eligibility for performing karma. Ma phaleshu. You have no eligibility in asking for the result. So, in a Vedic marriage, there is no snatching away of each other's rights. And nobody can demand rights. In fact, Vedic culture says, all humans are tremendously indebted. They are in huge debt. Every human being. And there are 5 debts. Please repeat after me. Pitre, Bhuta, Deva, Atithi, and the 5th one is Rishi. So there are 5 debts on every human being. Pitri to the 4 fathers, Bhuta to all the living entities, Atithi to any guest who comes. Because when we become guests, we take favors for free. So we are indebted to any guest who comes to our doorstep. Then 4th is Rishi, the sages who taught us. And 5th is Deva, the various devatas, deities who are maintaining our bodily functions. Because if they stop cooperating, then we will lose functions of individual body parts. And we don't want that. Dear devotee, so please tell me, can a person in severe debt ask for rights? So this is the Vedic vision. Nobody has any rights here. They all have responsibilities. This is what Vedic culture teaches each and every one of us. Now please tell me, in a loud resounding yes or no, does Vedic culture treat everyone equally?
Yes.
So hence it is ensured, nobody has any rights, we all have responsibilities. Pururava is great-minded because does he understand his rights or does he understand his responsibilities?
Responsibilities.
And therefore, Sri Shukadev Goswami doesn't call Urvashi as Mahamana, he calls Pururava as Mahamana. Of course, she said, besides this, you have to do a few other things. She said, I have got two lamps with me, and you can see there, I have got two lamps with me. They are my most favorite companions. You see, a lady from high society is having certain pets with her, all right? Huh? They are my dearmost companions. Make sure that they stay with us and we never lose them. Okay, because I am coming to stay with you, I am bringing these two with me. So Pururava said, whatever you say, I agree. So Pururava is also gradually falling into the same place as Bhartrihari. Quite some time passed. Urvashi took him to the heavenly planets. You see, here on earth the enjoyment is not of proper standard. Let me show you real enjoyment. So she took him to the heavenly gardens of Chaitrarath and Nandankanan, where the devatas are able to enjoy freely without any so-called restrictions of worldly morality. And then after enjoying for a long time, then they would come back to the palace. Indra started missing somebody in his assembly. And whom did Indra start missing? So Indra one day said, you know, I am not happy today. I am missing Urvashi. So Indra's wife, Shachi Devi, can't say, how dare you miss Urvashi. Why? Because this is not earthly planets. This is Swarga. And Brihaspati has made a separate set of rules for Swarga. These rules should not be imitated on planet Earth. Don't try this at home, dear Ivan. This is what should be told in advance. So, Indra knew the weakness of Urvashi. Urvashi's weakness is the two lamps. So Indra asked Gandharvas, he sent two Gandharvas. He said, go and snatch those lamps so that Urvashi can be brought back. So these two Gandharvas, in the middle of the night at around 12 o'clock, they slipped into the private chambers of Urvashi and Pururava and stole the two lamps and ran away. As soon as they ran away, Urvashi woke up and realized that her favorite pets are gone. And soon, dear devotees, shock changed into anger. Now, when there is anger, there has to be a recipient of the anger. And now you can imagine who is going to be the recipient of anger. Hatasmyaham kunathena napumsaviramanina yadvishrambhadaham nashta ritapatyacha dasyubhi yashete nishi santrasto yatha nari divapuma. Prabhu, you read very gently. So, you know, this is not a gentle statement. Can you read like Urvashi? Please read, Prabhu.
Urvashi heard them and rebuked her husband. Now I am being killed.
That's very gentle, Prabhu.
Now I am being killed, she said, under the protection of an unworthy husband who is a coward and a eunuch. Although he thinks himself a great hero, because I depend on him, the plunderers have deprived me of my two sons, the lambs, and therefore I am now lost. My husband lies down at night in fear, exactly like a woman, although he appears to be a man during the day.
Please repeat after me. Parinama, tapa, samskara, dukkhai, dukkham eva, sarvam, vivekinaha. Everything here is dukkha. So, dear devotees, now the conflicts have begun. Isn't it? Now, what do they say? The honeymoon period is over. For Bhartrihari, it's still going on, all right, huh? At least for Pururava. The conflicts have begun. Yuyam vayam vayam yuyam
Yuyam vayam vayam yuyam
Ityasin matiravayo
Ityasin matiravayo
Kim jatam adhuna mitra
Kim jatam adhuna mitra
Yuyam yuyam vayam vayam
Yuyam yuyam vayam vayam.
So before I explain this verse, dear devotees, we have to learn two Sanskrit terms. Please repeat after me. Yuyam.
Yuyam.
Yuyam means you. What does yuyam means? You. And please say vayam.
Vayam.
Vayam means I. Alright? Okay. So, yuyam vayam vayam yuyam. You were me and I was you. When the marriage began, you were me, I was you. Iti asin mati ravayo. Both of us had this mindset. Kim jatam adhuna mitra. I don't know what happened now, my dear friend. Yuyam yuyam. Vayam vayam. Should I translate the last line? So the marriage began with yuyam vayam vayam yuyam. And the marriage is right now on yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. Raise your hands if your marriage is an exception to this. I want to see that brave person. Are you not a single one? Hence, dear devotees, hence proved, dukkhameva sarvam vivekina. Oh, now the renunciates in mind are liking it very much. It's divine justice. Prabhu, are you married, Prabhu? Therefore you are soft. I'm just joking. Yes, Prabhu.
Previously, we both used to think that you are me and I am you. Dear love, what happened now? Suddenly, you became you and I became I.
Yeah. Bhartrihari has also started writing Vairagya Shatakam. Earlier he was writing Shringar Shatakam, verses on romance, and he was hiding it from the brahmacharis. Now he is writing Vairagya Shatakam and hiding from his own wife. Really. So,
so
question arises, why take to Grihastha Ashram at all? Isn't it? Bhartrihari, Pururava, we warned you. Before you took that step, we warned you. Before you graduated, you know, fell down into Grihastha Ashram, we warned you not to take that step. Dear devotees, at this point of time, I would like to quote Srila Prabhupada, who says that a Grihastha Ashram can also become very favorable provided it is not conditional like Pururava and Urvashi. Here is what Srila Prabhupada says.
It is said that a wife yields the fulfillment of all desires in religion, economic development and sense gratification.
Alright, a wife yields the fulfillment of all desires in three goals of life. Srila Prabhupada is saying, what are the three goals of life in Sanskrit? Dharma, Artha, Kama. All right. And dear devotees, please note that the success of these three is dependent on the wife, not on the husband. Na griham griham iti ahur grihini griham uchyate. Mahaprabhu said, four walls are not known as a home. It is the lady of the home who is known as the home. So the home primarily doesn't belong to the man. The home primarily belongs to the lady. It is her property. And the man's name may be written on the nameplate outside the door. That's where his domain ends. If any married man disagrees, raise your hand right now. Now is your chance. Look, dear devotees. Look at, nobody raised their hands. They all know the reality. So, the house belongs to the lady. She is the ruler of the home. When the marriage takes place, the mantras from the Vedas are chanted. Samragi bhava shvashurasya. Now you become the queen of your in-laws. Now you become the queen of the home. The mantras from the Vedas are chanted. And when she enters the home, she is the new queen and the old queen has to take a back seat. Therefore, dear devotees, in this way, it is dependent. Success of dharma, artha and kama is mainly dependent upon the lady because she is the main owner of the home. The beauty in the home is mainly due to the lady of the home. That is what Vedic literature says. If only men are staying together, it becomes a bachelor's hostel. All of you have seen how they are. All right? Huh? Please read ahead, dear devotees.
If one has a nice wife, he is to be considered the most fortunate man. In astrology, man is considered fortunate who has great wealth, very good sons, or a very good wife. Of these three, one who has a very good wife is considered the most fortunate. Before marrying, one should select a wife like of like disposition and not be enamored with so-called beauty or other attractive features of sense gratification.
So this is a very important advice that Srila Prabhupada gives, that before we get married, although he is giving this advice to men, it applies to both genders also. Before we get married, marriage should not be based on so-called beauty of somebody's face or beauty of somebody's skin. In Sanskrit, the term for beauty is, please repeat after me, Saundarya. What is the term?
Saundarya.
And Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the Ujjwal Nilmani says, Saundarya is on three levels. Please repeat after me. Manas, Vak, Kaya. Beauty is on three levels. The three levels are, firstly, the mind. Secondly, the speech. Thirdly, and finally, the least preference is given to the body. And dear devotees, there is no use to marrying a beautiful person who has a terrible mind and terrible speech. It's a very important factor that we should understand. Because in the modern world, beauty has become restricted only to what? Body. And there are no schools for teaching the beauty of the mind or beauty of the speech. And without a beautiful mind and beautiful speech, there is no point of getting married to a person who just looks externally beautiful. It would rather be better to sacrifice beauty in exchange of having a beautiful mind and a beautiful speech. This is the indication that Srila Prabhupada is giving here, and a very important point for those who are yet to get married. A very important advice from Srila Prabhupada for those who are yet to get married. Because one who has a favorable spouse, for such a person, spiritual advancement becomes very rapid. Not only do they have happiness, they also have the added advantage of having a person who is supporting them in all walks of life. And therefore, dear devotees, such a grihastha ashram is considered to be most fortunate, where we have a spouse who is very loving and helpful towards us. But of course, please remember, with every loving and helpful spouse, Patanjali Muni in the background is saying samskar. I hope you are able to understand. Huh? You are developing samskars of happiness. So, don't remain in the world for long with these positive samskars. Try to do something to get out of the world. That's what Patanjali Muni will say. Because even a good wife or a good husband, in the end, if you don't attain the same in future lives, will lead to dukkha. And we don't want that. How many of us want a good spouse in this life and lots of good samskars and depart from this life to next life with lots of positive samskars? Please raise your hands. Nobody wants that, dear devotees. See, they don't even want happiness. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada confirms the point of somebody who is within married life. He says that for a favorable married life, somebody who is in a good married life, to become renounced is much more easier. Prabhu, kindly read.
There are two kinds of renunciates: those who enjoyed family life and then took the path of renunciation, and those who had never entered family life but directly took to the path of renunciation. Although both of them are situated in the principle of renunciation, the former are superior to the latter because they had the experience of family life and thus have tasted the danger. Mm.
The last term is important. Sorry, dear devotees, yesterday I was speaking about bhoga. Yeah? Everybody was very happy. Sorry to rain on your happiness, but this is what he specifies. But still, it is better to have, he says, it is the renunciate who comes out of married life is considered to be a more mature renunciate. This is the opinion given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Not only that, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur confirms the same fact in his Jaiva Dharma. Please read, Prabhu.
To enjoy material pleasures without attachment is only possible in the household life of the Lord's devotees.
Dear devotees, to enjoy, that is what he is saying. To enjoy material pleasures, dharma, artha and kama is possible only in one ashram. Which ashram is that? Grihastha ashram. All other ashrams are meant for moksha. Vanprastha, sannyasi, they are aiming for moksha. Material enjoyment, dharma, artha, kama is only in one ashram. And which ashram is that? Grihastha. Further he says, please read.
For the jivas in Kali Yuga, it is most suitable to become grihastha bhaktas. For there is no fear of falling down and full spiritual advancement is definitely achievable. Many highly intelligent and self-realized gurus have been amongst the grihastha vaishnavas.
So this is a very mature opinion given by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is also on the same page that it is better to go through household life. But this doesn't mean that everybody take to householder life. There may be some individuals who are definitely convinced about one thing. They are convinced about what? Parinam, tap, samskar. If they are convinced about it, and convinced means you have to convince yourself, not everybody else in the world, that I am convinced. You have to convince yourself. And if you are able to naturally convince yourself, you will happily walk in the world without any anxieties. May 10,000 people will say that Grihastha ashram is the best ashram, but we will walk happily everywhere because you know that I am convinced from previous lives that it is not the best ashram for me. But if somebody is not convinced from previous lives, then Grihastha ashram is there, dear devotees. Also, Sri Vallabhacharya from the Pushti Marg. In Sri Vallabhacharya's sampradaya, they do not give sannyas. Neither do they have Brahmachari ashram. There is one prominent ashram in the sampradaya of Pushti Marg, and which ashram is that? Grihastha. Why do they not give sannyas ashram? Very rarely somebody may be a sannyasi. Very rare. And why? Because Sri Vallabhacharya had written a separate text called Sannyas Nirnay, my conclusion about sannyas. And in that Sannyas Nirnay, he wrote something. Please repeat after me. Grihadir Badhakatvena Sadhanartham Tathayadi Agrepi Tadrishaireva Sango Bhavati Nanyatha Swayamcha Vishayakrantah Pashandi Syatu Kalatah. Grihadir Badhakatvena, if somebody takes to renunciation only because of thinking household life is painful, if that is the motivation for taking to renunciation, he says, sorry, I do not approve of this motivation. Or sadhanartham tathayadi, or if my sadhan bhakti will be tremendously improved if I stay alone, sorry, I don't approve. Sri Vallabhacharya says, I don't approve. And here my authorized opinion, he says, agrepi tadrishaireva sango bhavati na anyatha. What do you think, when you stay alone as a renunciate, won't you roam around in the world? Please tell me, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. And those, the people whom you meet in the world, will they be any different, or will they be the same that you find within married life? Same. So even if you roam around the world, you are going to find the same type of people and meet with the same type of people. Na anyatha. So this reminds me of a small joke. One time I was asked by my own wife, she asked me one thing, that is there any reason why you prefer Grihastha ashram over Brahmacharya ashram? See, I said I'm already married, so the question doesn't make sense. Huh? But she said, still you tell me. So I said, see, it's a very simple thing. In Grihastha ashram, you have to listen to one person. In Grihastha ashram, you have one authority over you.
That's it. All right.
And the remaining sentence I will not speak, intelligent people can understand. All right. And when throughout the world while preaching you meet such people who have so many mixed material motivations, Sri Vallabhacharya says, Swayam cha vishayakrantah. There is high possibility you may become infected by material life yourself, and because you do not have Grihastha ashram for Vedic material enjoyment, Pashandi Syatu Kala, you may end up becoming a hypocrite. This is Sannyas Nirnay of Sri Vallabhacharya. Kindly read, Prabhu.
If one takes renunciation thinking that house, etc. are a hindrance to bhakti, and that one can have better sadhana bhakti by being a renunciant, then please know that even after taking to such renunciation, one is still going to meet materialistic people in the world outside. There is also a great chance of becoming a false pretender in the association of such people.
So this is a very serious statement by Sri Vallabhacharya. And dear devotees, please raise your hands if you agree with the validity of the statement. Do you agree that he is speaking the truth? Yes?
Yes.
So dear devotees, it is a very important fact that those who have renounced the world also have to interact with the world. Especially in movements like ours, which is based on Goshti Anandi. So we have to check if the Goshti is still giving Anand or not. Or by the association of worldly people, has the Goshti turned into Dukkha? So it has it has to be understood. Therefore, dear devotees, Sri Vallabhacharya says, I am not against sannyas, but I am not against renunciation, but I approve only of one type of renunciation. And here is Sri Vallabhacharya's approval. For only one motivation, he approves renunciation. Please repeat after me. विरहानुभवार्थं तु परित्यागः प्रशस्यते.
That renunciation is most worthy of praise, which is taken for the purpose of experiencing deep separation from Krishna.
This is good. And we know of one such sannyasi who fits this criteria. Who is that devotee? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this is the motivation for taking to renunciation, I approve. This is the best motivation for taking to renunciation. The saffron cloth suits a person who accepts it for the sake of experiencing separation from Sri Krishna. Who is so absorbed in thoughts of Sri Krishna, who is so absorbed in separation from Sri Krishna, that they have very little or zero interest remaining in material life. And they know that everything else in the material world is a torture for them, including the acceptance of Grihastha Ashram, because it is a hindrance to their remembrance of Bhagwan. It is a hindrance to their constant worship of Bhagwan. So for such people, Sannyas Ashram is most suitable. Sri Vallabhacharya says in his Sannyas Nirnay. Anyways, wow, it's bright again, so we can speak about love again. We were speaking so much about renunciation, somebody switched off the lights. One fine day in the kingdom of Bhartrihari, there was a courtesan. Courtesan means there are many ladies who stay within the court. There was a courtesan. And this courtesan came to Bhartrihari and said, Maharaj, I know you are very dedicated to your wife and you never look at another woman. But I want to tell you something, Maharaj. So Bhartrihari asked the courtesan, what do you want to say? He said, I want to confess my love to you. Although I am a courtesan and we usually don't fall in love, but I confess my love to you, Maharaj. I am deeply in love with you. And please accept this gift of love from my side. What is this? Maharaj, is a divine fruit which will prevent your old age and help you live very long. What? Bhartrihari went to the Brahmana first. The Tantrikya. How many such fruits are there? Maharaj, I got only one fruit from Bhuvaneshwari Devi. What happened, Maharaj? No, nothing. Bhartrihari went back to the courtesan and said, I am willing to accept your love, but tell me, from whom did you get this? Maharaj, that stupid chief minister of yours, he says he loves me. He doesn't know that courtesans don't love anybody. Courtesans love one thing. What is that?
Money.
We love money, Maharaj. But Maharaj, I love you. And I can be your second best wife if you accept me. Bharti, I said, that's all right. I have to pay a visit to the chief minister. So the courtesan gifted it to whom? Bhadriyari. And the courtesan was gifted by whom? Royal minister. But who gave it to the minister, dear devotees? So Bhartriyari went to the chief minister. Do you see this fruit? Recognize this fruit? No, Maharaj. What is in this fruit? Do you recognize this fruit? Maharaj, I don't want to die. Last chance. Do you recognize this fruit? Speak the truth and I'll still let you live. Maharaj, I hope you'll let me live. Kings don't speak lies, so I'm trusting your word. I have no interest in all of this. Maharani Anang Sena gave it to me. One last question. Did both of you share the same bed? Maharaj, I hope. I'll never return back to your kingdom, Maharaj. Did both of you share the same bed? Yes, yes, Maharaj. That one yes from that particular minister, it shattered the heart of Bhartriyari into a million pieces. Because Bhartriyari had entered into an unconditional mode of love. And there is nobody to go and complain to. Yam chintayami satatam mayi sa virakta. Sapyanyamichyati janam sa janonyasaktah. Asmat krite cha parishushyati saiva chanya. Diktam cha tam cha madanam cha imam cha mam cha. Yam chintayami satatam, the lady who I constantly think about, who is that lady? Ananga Sena, doesn't have any love for me. Sapi anyam ichchati, that wretched lady, she thinks, desires another person. Which person is that? minister. And that wretched minister, Anya Saktaha, is attached to yet another lady. Which lady? The courtesan. Asmat krite cha parishushyati saiva chanya. And that courtesan lady is miserably attached to me. Dhiktam cha, fie upon this courtesan. Tam cha, fie upon that minister. Madanam cha, fie upon Kamadev. To hell with Kamadev. Imam cha, to hell with this Anangasena. And Mam cha, fie upon me. Please read.
The lady who I'm constantly thinking about, Nangasena, doesn't have any love for me. In fact, she desires another person, the minister, who in turn is attached to yet another lady, the courtesan. And that lady is miserably attached to me. Fie upon this courtesan. Fie upon this minister. Fie upon Kamadev. Fie upon Nangasena. Most importantly, fie upon me.
Yeah. Bhartrihari, you remember? In the Brahmachari ashram, what were they saying? Without saying a single word to Anangasena, Bhartrihari leaves for the forest that particular day. There is no point in confronting a person who doesn't love you. There is no point in bringing them back on the track of love because they never loved you from the very beginning. Bhartrihari left that very day for the forest. Puru Rava was chastised by Urvashi. In the middle of the night, Puru Rava ran naked with a sword in his hand behind the Gandharvas. Puru Rava returned back with both the lambs. Maharaj, I told you I will not see you naked at any other time. I am leaving. Urvashi left. All right, dear devotees, that's the end of the presentation. Thank you so much. Hey, the brahmacharis are clapping. Prabhu, why is it that you want to end with they remained unhappy ever after? Why is it, Prabhu? Huh? Can't you see a little happiness for us grihasthas, huh, Prabhu? Now somebody may say, see, all these men-centric stories where only the men are suffering. All right? Huh? Women never suffer in such stories, isn't it? Huh? But it's a fact of life that in the real world, women too suffer in such relationships. If you don't believe me, the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks equally. Oh no, it speaks more for the women. Huh? The Srimad Bhagavatam speaks also for the women. Kapil Muni, please repeat after me. Tamatmano vijaniya, patya patya grihatmakam, daivopasaditam mrityum, mrigayor gayanam yatha. Please read through.
A woman, therefore, should consider her husband, her house, and her children to be the arrangement of the external energy of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is death for the deer.
Dear devotees, for men it is suffering, but for women it is not suffering, it is
death.
And often in many such relationships, women end up dying multiple times before actual death. It's a fact of life. It is said, Nahi Vandhya Vijanati Gurvim Prasava Vedanam. Men will never understand what is the pain of giving birth to a child. They will never be able to understand this. So, for a lady, the suffering is much more, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. But still, the Grihastha Ashram is recommended for somebody who wishes to holistically deal with the first three goals of life. And what are the first three goals of life? Dharma, Artha, Kama. It is recommended. Because yesterday I explained Vidya, Avidya. Those who take only to Avidya means those who get involved only in material enjoyment, Dharma, Artha, Kama, they will enter the world again. And those who subsist only on Vidya, will they appear again in this world, dear devotees? Yes. Yeah, even more. Why? Example is Saubhari Muni. He wanted to survive only on Vidya, no Avidya. He wanted to have zero contact with human civilization. Although he had desires within him. Finally, when his desires overtook him, Saubhari Muni came out and married how many times? 50. Although if he would have dealt with it holistically, he wouldn't have to take 50 times the effort of being married to 50 different people. And so that further pushes him into the cycle of samsara, worldly existence. So if somebody who has material desires but purposely denies them and wants to subsist only on avidya, on vidya, then the risk is even higher. Sri Vallabhacharya has warned. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given his suggestion. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada also has spoken about the same. Therefore, dear devotees, everybody is suffering in this world. Whether it is a brahmachari, sannyasi, grihastha, man or woman, everything in the world is tainted with fear. Bhartrihari later wrote, the verse is in the meter, Shardul Vikriditam. Dear devotees, although Bhartrihari has renounced everything, the poet within him refuses to die. All right? Please sing after me. Bhoge roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vete nripalad bhayam.
Bhoge roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam
vete nripalad bhayam. Mane danya bhayam bale ripu bhayam rupe jaraya bhayam. Shastre vadi bhayam gune khal bhayam kaye kritantad bhayam.
Shastre vadi bhayam gune khal bhayam kaye
kritantad bhayam. Sarvam vastu bhayan vitam bhuvindrinam vairagyame va bhayam.
Sarvam vastu bhayan vitam
Bhoge rog bhayam. If you enjoy anything more, there is fear of disease. You cannot even enjoy anything in this world. Dear devotees, after tomorrow there will be afternoon lunch prasad and perhaps there will be some sweet. And if you decide, I will have 50 sweets. Can you enjoy 50 sweets? No. Why? There is the fear of something. What is the fear? Not sugar, not only sugar, but disease, indigestion. Bhoge roga bhayam, kule chyuti bhayam. And if you are born in a very good family, a family of doctors, then there is always a fear of falling from the standards of the family, of becoming the black sheep of the family. Vitte nripalad bhayam. And if you earn a lot of money, there's always fear of government and kings and taxation. Mane dainya bhayam. If you are very reputed in the society, there is always a fear that somebody will come and humiliate you. Bale ripu bhayam. If you are very strong politically or physically, there is the fear of strong opponents. Rupe jaraya bhayam. And if you are very beautiful, there is the fear of what, dear devotees?
Old age.
Because when the skin starts rotting, dear devotees, the fear begins to set in. Shastre vadi bhayam. If you learn too much Shastra, vadi, you are afraid of other people who have learned Shastra. Gune khala bhayam. If you have many good qualities like humility and you do Hare Krishna to everybody, yeah? You are afraid of people who are khala, who are ruffians and who will take advantage of your humility. And if nothing else, kaye kritantat bhayam. There is always the fear of death looming over you. Sarvam vastu bhayanvitam. Everything in this world is poisoned with fear. Bhuvin rinam. Vairagyam eva abhayam. There is only one abhay. Only one fearlessness. Vairagya, renunciation. In giving up, there is only fearlessness. Please read.
In enjoyment, there is fear of disease. In family reputation, there is fear of failing, falling. In wealth, there is fear of kings. In prestige, there is fear of humiliation. In power, there is fear of enemy or adversary. In beauty, there is fear of old age. In scriptural erudition, there is fear of learned opponents. In virtue, there is fear of wicked, vilifying person. In body, there is fear of death. For human beings, everything in this world is coupled with fear. Vairagya, renunciation, alone is fearlessness.
This, dear devotees, is Tyag. Now, we are on the other side. So, I hope those who are favoring Tyag are loving it. If you are loving it, please say loud Hari Bol. Oh, wow! Dear devotees, do you want to see an actual Vairagi who practiced proper Vairagi, Ashtanga Yoga Vairagi? How many of us would like to see an actual Ashtanga Yoga Vairagi, a photograph of somebody who lived like Bhartrihari? Okay? And then you can compare your Vairagya to this Vairagya, alright, dear devotees? And please don't take shelter of Yukta Vairagya. Right? Just do a plain comparison first. Here it is. This is an actual photograph of a Vairagi. This is how Bhartrihari had become. The pendulum swings to the other side, dear devotees. And Bhartrihari didn't become a Vairagi because 10 seniors told him. Bhartrihari became a Vairagi because he wanted to become a Vairagi. So, dear devotees, how many of us can compare to this level of Vairagya? No. So, we take shelter of Yukta Vairagya, isn't it? Therefore, I said one thing, for those who are practicing Yukta Vairagya, please understand one thing, there is no running away from the material world. Because this is what running away from the material world truly looks like. If you want to be a Vairagi, compare yourself to this. How many devotees are willing to take the challenge? Raise your hands. Be somebody like this in this lifetime. No? Hare, if I would have asked how many would want to be a bhogi, many people would have raised their hands. See, the Jivatma doesn't love Vairagya. The Jivatma doesn't love Tyag. The Jivatma loves Bhoga. But due to some samskars, the Jivatma may take to Tyag. And it keeps swinging, the pendulum keeps swinging between Bhoga and Tyag. So, please raise your hands once again, short exercise. How many of us would like to become a complete bhogi like Bhartrihari in his previous ashram? Raise your hands. Like Guru Rabha? No. How many would like to become a Tyagi like Bhartrihari? Raise your hands. No.
Huh?
We love Prasadam. We love Prasadam. Unable to decide, dear devotees. We are unable to decide. So Bhartrihari wrote a verse, because he had left in very quickly and hastily he had left. After some time his desire started pulling back upon him. So Bhartrihari added another verse. Please repeat after me. Matsaryamutsarya vicharya karyam arya samaryadam idam vadantu sevya nitamba kimubudharanam utasmarasmera vilasininam. Alright. I'm sorry. Prahlad Prabhu, can you kindly read?
Giving up all cheating propensity, tell me, O noble learned man, which lap should I make my ultimate resting place? The lap of a mountain or the lap of an enchanting woman, abounding in passion? In other words, should I take to renunciation for to complete sense enjoyment?
All right. What should I do? Should I take to complete sense enjoyment or should I take to renunciation? Dear devotees, give up all cheating propensity and tell me which lap should I sit on, Bhartrihari said. Should I sit in the lap of a mountain or should I sit in the lap of a lady? See, the electricity is also undecided, dear devotees. It is unable to make up its mind. Therefore, the solution has to come from a transcendental source. Now, how many of us want a solution? Please raise your hands. Yes. We are stuck between bhog and tyag. Because if you take to complete bhoga, there is a possibility of ending up like Puru Rava or a possibility of ending up like Bhartrihari. And if we take to extreme tyaga, there is the possibility of being confused again like Bhartrihari or falling again like Saubhari. And therefore, Bhagwan himself will give the solution. Na nirvinno nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhidaha. Please read, Prabhu.
Person who is neither very detached nor very much attached to material life can achieve perfection through the path of loving bhakti.
Neither too detached nor too attached. This is, and the verse is bhakti yoga. Such a person is eligible for practicing which yoga? Bhakti yoga. Commenting upon this, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the extreme ascetic, we saw a photograph in the previous slide, the extreme ascetic has to practice jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. They are eligible for two types of yoga. Which yoga? Jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. The extremely attached, like Puru Rava, can practice karma yoga. And those who are neither too attached nor too detached are eligible for practicing which yoga? Bhakti yoga. This is what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in the commentary to this particular verse. Now, what is neither too attached nor too detached? It's a gray zone. but I'm going to keep that hanging. All right, dear devotees, huh? Because there should be something for tomorrow. Hmm? We are about to enter into the transcendental zone of Bhakti Devi. Till now, we were suffering between bhog and tyag. And if you listen to Patanjali Muni, it was all suffering, dear devotees. It was all suffering. Although we felt temporary waves of enjoyment, it was all suffering. But don't let this deter you from pursuing dharma, artha and kaam in a religious manner. I hope you are able to understand. You don't have to end up like Bhartrihari. If Bhagwan has blessed us with good relationships, if Bhagwan has blessed us with love in this particular life, there is absolutely no reason why a particular person should decide on whimsically giving that up when Bhagwan himself doesn't expect one to be too detached. But Bhagwan also expects one not to be too attached. That's a very important thing. Don't throw away your good relationships in the world. They were gifted as a result of previous good karma. But please make sure that you give first priority to pursuing a relationship with Bhagwan. Of course, where Bhartrihari failed, Srila Rupa Goswami will succeed. Yesterday I gave only half the verse. Today I will give the complete verse. The meter is Shardul Vikriditam, same as Shad Goswami Ashtagam. Can we sing together, dear devotees? Yes? Let's sing together. Let's sing as loudly as possible. Alright? Karshayana cha bhojanadiniyaman no vavane vasato vyakhyanadatha vamuni vratabhara chetodbhavah kshiyate kintu sphita kalinda shailatanaya tireshu vikridato govindasya padaravinda bhajana rambhasya leshadapi kashayat by wearing saffron cloth na not by wearing saffron cloth kashay also means by taking ayurvedic medicines for impotence na not by that na cha bhojanadi niyaman not by setting rules strict rules for bhojan. It is good to set rules for food, diet. Ayurveda recommends it. Don't just start gluttony just because of this verse. No va vane vasato. Neither by staying in the forest. As today morning, Gaurang Darshan Prabhu gave the example of Rishyashringa who was staying in the forest but still got enticed. Vyakhyanadathava. Not by listening to multiple lectures on how to be a good renunciant. That's not going to happen. Muni vrata bharat, not by cutting off contact with society. Chitta udbhava, the arising of kaam in the heart is not stopped like this. And yesterday we saw kaam gita. You may prevent kaam, you may suppress kaam in one direction. Kaam is laughing. I will come out in another way. Dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavitam va jagadish, ha, kamaye, huh? It will come out in that way, dear devotees. So, dear devotees, let that not happen. Kintu, but there is one way. And our hope is hanging on this one kintu of Srila Rupa Goswami. Kintu. Sphita kalinda shaila tanaya tireshu vikridito. Big samas, long term. When Sanskrit gives long term and you have to translate in English, start in the opposite direction, from right to left. Vikridito, somebody is playing. Playing where? Tireshu, on the banks. On the banks of where? Shailatanaya, of the daughter of a particular mountain. Which mountain? Kalinda mountain. Who is the daughter of the Kalinda mountain? Yamuna. So somebody is playing on the banks of the Yamuna, and How are those banks? Phita, they are very wide. So always one thing, simple rule in translating from Sanskrit to English is always go from right to left, especially in longer terms. Kintu sphita kalinda shaila tanaya tireshu vikridato. There is somebody sporting on the wide banks of the Yamuna. Dear devotees, in your hearts visualize that person who in the middle of the full moon night comes out of the Yamuna with the waters of the Yamuna trickling down his body glowing like a host of wonderful blue lotuses. After coming out, he ties his hair, puts a peacock feather around it, sits down comfortably under a tree, takes his flute and plays a sweet note resembling the cuckoo. Did you see that person in your heart? Dear devotees, what is the name of that person? Govinda. In the last line, his name is Govinda because he gave a lot of pleasure to your senses, isn't it, right now? And somebody who gives a lot of pleasure to the senses is known as whom? Govinda. Govindasya Padaravinda. Look at Govinda's Padaravinda, lotus feet. And by lotus feet, by Upalakshana, it means the entire personality of Govinda. Bhajan Arambha, begin some genuine love for him. By one trace of genuine love for Govinda. And not just one trace. Arambhasya Leshadapi. A small fragment of a trace of genuine attachment to Govinda will Kamadev fully run away forever. Dear devotees, when you meditated on Govinda, did you feel any agitation in the senses? Or did you feel an upliftment of the heart? So dear devotees, it is very important to understand, poetry is meant for upliftment. All these verses that we studied from Bhartrihari, Shringar, Vairagya, they will not degrade you. Ultimately, they are meant to uplift you. The day we realize that prema exists truly with that one person, and this sort of prema is not to be found in the material world, param drishtva nivartate, that is the day the jivatma finally gives up dharma, artha and kama naturally. And that is the day their journey inside the most important purushartha of life, prema, begins. They reject even moksha. Sri Jiva Goswami says, thut krita brahmanandam. They spit upon the liberation of impersonal Brahman and they enter into the kingdom of prema. This is the kingdom of rasik devotees like Sri Rupa Goswami. We are so fortunate to have an acharya who doesn't speak about scraping his heart with a sandpaper of vairagya. We are so fortunate to have an acharya who loves the moon, who loves the lotus, who loves Meghdoot, who loves Kalidas, but he loves all of them because most importantly he loves one person. And who's that person? Govinda. And therefore, dear devotees, he'll tell you, there is no harm in loving all these entities in the world, as long as these entities remind you of Govinda. In fact, there is no meaning to devotional world unless we learn to love everything in this world in relationship with Govinda. Do not become Bhartrihari. either in previous ashram or in the next ashram. Do not become Pururava. Try to become a Rupanuga. Because everything in the world has a purpose. And that purpose is found in Shri Krishna Prema. But simply saying big words will not do. We will actually have to enter and relish Srila Rupa Goswami's poetry. And that we will do beginning from tomorrow, the devotees. Please read the translation, Prabhu.
Not by wearing sacred cloth or Ayurvedic medicine, not by restricting food and other sense activities, not by living in the forest, not by discussing philosophy, not by observing a vow of silence, but only by even a small trace of the slightest beginning of genuine loving service to the lotus feet, Lord Govinda, who enjoys pastimes on the Yamuna's wide banks, is Kamadev finally stopped forever.
So dear devotees, if you would like to take to Srila Rupa Goswami's solution, you have to accept all the things of beauty in this world. And I'll tell you one thing, I'll be very honest. Bhagwan invested most of the beauty in feminine entities. Bhagwan did not invest most of the beauty of this world in masculine entities. So Sri Rupa Goswami, when he names his poetry, he'll call it Padyavali, feminine gender. Daan Keli Kaumudi, feminine gender. When Sri Rupa Goswami will glorify Harinam, Krishneti Varna Dvai, although Naam is not feminine gender, he purposely ascribes a feminine gender to Naam in order to glorify Naam. So dear devotees, in the world of Srila Rupa Goswami, there is no denial of beauty, all aspects of beauty, including feminine beauty. And anybody who tries to deny this, tomorrow Srila Rupa Goswami will, we will see a praman from Sri Rupa Goswami where he says that they are forever restricted from Madhurya Ras. We will see that praman tomorrow, but I'll keep that hanging, dear devotees. Thank you very much. Yadatra skalitam kinchit vidvam sahapura yantu tat. Yadatra saushtavam kinchit tad guru reva menahi. Yadatra skalitam kinchit. If I made a mistake, of course I'll make mistakes. I'm an ordinary human being filled with all the defects of ordinary human beings. Of course I'll make a mistake. But if I made a mistake, vidvam sah, you are merciful, learned Vaishnavas, purayantu tat, please correct any mistakes. But yadatra saushtavam kinchit. If there's anything nice, please remember tad guru reva. It belongs to my Gurujanas. Me nahi. It doesn't belong to me. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Would you like to say something? No? Would you like to say something, Maharaj? Or should we take one or two questions?
Yes.
Okay. Two questions. One from the Vaishnavas, one from the Vaishnavis. Because Vedic culture, nobody has rights. Everybody has responsibilities. Right? Yes. Jai Dwarka Prabhu, I can answer you personally. Let somebody who cannot ask me personally get a chance. Yes, Prabhu, let Prabhu get the mic. Yeah, here. Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, attendants. Thank you for this wonderful presentation. So we looked at, in the first class, you have spoke about the Vedic system as the contact to the contact mechanism when someone falls from it. But in the Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami kind of establish the pranayama and pranayama, because he gives the example of curse of
Gautam Muni.
Right?
Wonderful.
And,
yes.
So it's very difficult to understand again, because right now we are looking at Avidya, and then modern Avidya is basically people are traumatized, like, because of the Varna Shankara, and the family systems are disturbed, and people have childhood traumas. I'm just saying, this whole thing is kind of quite disturbing.
Yeah.
Different levels, actually.
Yeah.
And now, how do we move from, I mean, like, studying Abhidhyam again, it has its own risks, and the other way you look at this whole thing is, we need to make more improvements, I mean, like, the way this is presented in terms of relationships, but like, if you look at it in a more gender contextual terms, it's more, we need to raise the platform of goodness and we can move towards Vidya, basically. Now, the question here is, when, like Jiva Goswami says, Bhagavatam is the kind of the pranam, like, so how do we understand, like, where we
and
trying to go through all this, and
sure,
not everyone will go through that.
Sure. So I'll, okay. So I'll just summarize your query and you can nod if I have summarized it correctly. Sri Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha has said that Vedas are difficult to understand, they are rarely, not all of them are present, the commentators are differing in their opinions. And here we are trying to say that, you know, Varnashram requires Vedic culture, and Vedic culture is the four Vedas in the three modes. So in trying to do so, we are going back to the Vedas which Sri Jiva Goswami did not recommend in Tattva Sandarbha, basically. How do we harmonize these two? I hope I got your question correct. All right, sure. In Sri Jiva Goswami, the name of the Sandarbha is Tattva Sandarbha. Tattva means the absolute truth. So when it comes to establishing the absolute truth, we will not depend on the Vedas. We will go rather to Srimad Bhagavatam. But in Varnashram, our purpose is not to, not Tattva. In Varnashram, our purpose is Dharma, Artha and Kama, so that we can gradually go to Moksha. So when the purpose is not Tattva, Tattva Sandarbha is not the literature applicable to that particular scenario. Tattva Sandarbha is applicable to somebody who is searching for Tattva. Vadanti, and what is Tattva? Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. That is Tattva. And Sri Jiva Goswami in the beginning of the literature gives the eligible adhikari. And Krishna padam bhoja bhajanai kabhilashavan. Tenaiva drishyatam etad anyasmai shapathorpitah. He said that only one who is Krishna padam bhoja bhajan ek abhilashavan, who is exclusively desirous of Krishna prema bhakti, for that person this literature is meant. Anyasmai shapathorpitah. All others I give a, what is it called, shapath, kasam detam, like, what do they say in English? I give a pledge. You swear, don't touch this literature. That is what he says. Anyasmai shapathorpitah in the Tattva Sandarbha. So the adhikari, as defined by Sri Jiva Goswami, is not the person who is looking for dharma, artha and kama. So I hope when you look at the verse for eligibility, you will understand the adhikari.
But like, what's the Gautam Muni's curse? That's what I'm more concerned. I mean, like, taking the difference of Gautam Muni's curse is Kali Kalpa Kakamas.
Yeah.
So how do you mean, like, with your, how do you balance this?
So in Kali Yuga we don't have Brahmanas, therefore in Kali Yuga Brahmanas are not determined mainly by birth. Although by birth also some Brahmanas appear. And some are blessed both with birth as well as education. But it is also possible that a person having Brahminical qualities may appear in another lineage. And there is a verse in the 7th, Yasya Yal Lakshanam Proktam, that a person who is born in another Varna may still, you can, if they have the qualities of a Brahmana, then you can address them as a Brahmana. Here is 7.11.35, Prabhu, you yourself read the translation, that will satisfy your query. Please read the translation.
If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification.
This is what will work in Kali Yuga. Right? Thank you. So one last query from a Vaishnavi, then we'll, who, anybody from the Vaishnavis who wishes to ask anything? Somebody behind? Yeah. Let's give the mic. This is 7.11.35 for those who want to note down the reference. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam pumso varna vivyanjakam तदन्यत्रापि दृश्येत तत्तेनैव विनिर्दिश्येत. How do devotees ensure that their poetry is Shastra based? By composing it according to the principles given in Shastra. And the principles that are given in Shastra are given by Sri Rupa Goswami in literature such as Natak, Chandrika, etc. So they have already done the hard work for us. We just need to study their guidelines in order to understand the culture of Natya, the culture of Kavya. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's books I showed yesterday, Kavya Kaustubh. And they are manuals of poetics. They are manuals for those who wish to write poetry. So they will explain everything in those manuals. And they have already done the demarcation between the mundane and the divine. So when we are reading through those books, we will not have the risk of mixing up the mundane and the divine. So you are safe with the previous acharyas of our sampradaya. Because with Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, Sri Kavi Karnapur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we don't have any doubts upon their capabilities of explaining Bhakti Ras and Kavya to others. So follow the standard manuals given by the previous acharyas and you are safe to go. Does that answer your query totally? Yes. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Hare Krishna.
Can you please just stay for 1 second, my dear devotees?
Yeah. Mic. Somebody please pass the mic here. They are bringing it.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Yes, we have. Can you see that we are on a journey? No? Okay. Now to look at Goswami. On another subject, we had a discussion this morning how to make the concluding day, that is the. Please help me. In 3 days, no?
Yes.
On the 12th. The most effective day for all of us, for all of you, so that you really leave the Ramadana Retreat Center with all your questions fulfilled. And we came to the decision that we will have a panel composed of the 3 speakers, and you will have the opportunity to direct questions to them. Now, to organize this in the most effective way, three things are necessary. You are necessary. It is your day, your takeaway day. I request you that any questions which you feel are good to address, you could please write them down, and we will provide a little box or something where you can put them in. You can also specify to whom you would direct these questions, to Hari Parshad, to Varanga Dasha, to myself, and so on. Now, what is a good question? Any question that is real is a good question, but if you think of what is good for one and all, it is addressing those subjects which are likely to concern, and not just your specific case, but for the benefit of all. That's a good question, but again, I don't want to restrict your query to this. I just wanted to give an inspiration. My dear devotees, on the day of the concluding of this beautiful retreat, the host of the panel reaches into the box and there's no question. It's such a disappointment. So kindly see now for the last 2 days if something comes to your mind which you would like to ask in this format. It will be a panel, it will be quite interesting and dynamic, but that's a surprise for now. For your knowledge, kindly think of questions that are good. One of us reminded me, please avoid questions which have a dark undertone, you know, political or smashing people, institutions or whatever. No, they should be upliftings for spiritual life, not the English word is loaded with this, something with gunpowder or something. Good. Has my language been understood by you?
Yes. Yes.
Good. So you will find the box just here from tomorrow morning onwards. Yes?
Maharaj, should the topics be limited to the topics that we have discussed during this retreat or anything?
Anything. But it's of course good. Anything really. Anything. It should be, we had such wonderful forums like this in other places with Haripashad, Keshava Maharaj and so on. And really some devotees commented that was really helpful in the spiritual.